Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The way the offense is playing in this environment could be trouble. And right for the end zone and scoring and dunking is Jackson Smith and Jigba. Darnold strikes to JSN.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Chris Fowler, of the show and a Tim Scandling client, with the call last night on ESPN. Jackson Smith and Jigba, receiving yards prop in the high 80s against the Texans defense. As it turns out, way too low. Best receiver in the league? He's in the conversation. We'll get back to the Seahawks and the Texans in a second, but we have a couple of breaking news items in the NFL. We'll get to the New York Jets quarterback situation next hour because it'll demand a little bit more time. It looks like the Jets will make the switch to Tyrod Taylor ahead of their next game. So we'll talk about that next hour. They'll be on the road in Cincinnati against the Bengals. But a tweet has just hashtag crossed the wire, a.k.a. we have notifications turned on our phones, from Russell Wilson, Giants backup quarterback. So the context for this is, after the Broncos beat the Giants on Sunday in ridiculous fashion, Sean Payton is praising Jackson Dart and can't resist taking a not-so-subtle jab at his former quarterback in Denver, Russell Wilson, saying that basically it was his hope that the Giants would have waited until after this game to play Jackson Dart. They would have rather faced Russell Wilson. Which Sean Payton obviously doesn't have to say that, but we all know he can't help himself. Russell Wilson tweeting moments ago, and I quote, "Classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media." Russell Wilson might be a massive cornball, and he obviously is. And you can question the authenticity of his public persona, no question about it, but that is as good a response as you will ever get. I'm curious as to, like, what percent of the audience now, because Bounty Gate was a while ago, like, what percent of the audience now is, like even remembers that happened, that Bounty Gate was actually a thing, and all the rumors that of what was actually happening with the New Orleans Saints, and I have no idea if any of it's true or not, but it's all just very interesting, like the Russell Wilson clapback of Sean Payton. Sean Payton doesn't need to keep taking shots at Russell Wilson, so I like Russ firing back a little bit. Back to the Texans and the Seahawks. So, Houston's offense is horrendous. The defense is actually great. I think they're done. This Sunday's game, they might be able to win. They're a one-point favorite at home against the San Francisco 49ers. And the Niners don't really have much of a pass rush to speak of. And Bryce Huff's going to be out for this game. So maybe this is a game where Stroud could actually have some time to throw. I'm not going to say that I'm definitely taking San Francisco in the game. I don't think I'd bet Houston. Just that, like, this actually presents on paper as a game where the Texans might be able to at least move the football a little bit on offense. But as far as the season goes, like, they're toast. Like, they, it can't get better. And Nico Collins got concussed. You would need the offensive linemen to all of a sudden all get good, and for Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel to both turn into studs. And if that happens, and the play caller gets better, maybe you've got a chance. I think they are finished. No division championship, no playoffs this year for the Texans. And the conversation that we'll be having this offseason, because the Texans are going to have a decision to make on C.J. Stroud. This is his third year. This will be the first year that they miss the playoffs. And this year is not going to go well, I think, rest of season. They going to give him a huge deal after the year? It's a conversation for months from now, but I'm just trying to plant the seed and get ahead of it right now. Very quickly on the Seahawks, and then we'll talk about the ALCS. Last night's game felt to me like at halftime, Mike McDonald and Clint Kubiak and the rest of the coaches, they all like told the players, like, hey guys, be right back. And went and like passed a joint around and got rip roaring high and just had a big old laugh about the Houston Texans offense, and said to each other, in between bites of whatever they got out there at halftime, orange slices, I don't know, potato chips, whatever, granola bars, Coca-Cola, ginger ale, maybe even a little water. How much do you think we can screw around and still win this game? And win comfortably. Oh, we're going to be up at the end and just run the clock out? No, let's just tuck the ball 50 yards down the field on every play. Oh, if we just, we could punt on every first down for the entire game and still win? No, let's drop Sam Darnold back into the end zone. He's under pressure, does the Sam Darnold thing, and the Texans recover the fumble in the end zone for a touchdown. The Seahawks were like desperately trying, like daring the Texans to make this a game. And the Texans couldn't do it. Seattle wins and improves to 5-2. The one thing that could give you a little bit of pause with Seattle, and I think the Seahawks are a playoff team, and I said that after they beat the Cardinals on Thursday night back in week 3. I think the Seahawks are a playoff team. But the one thing that gives you pause is when Sam Darnold is under like actual duress, he still like loses his mind sometimes. Like that fumble in the end zone was really bad. Like, you just got to get rid of the ball. Throw it away. Held on to it too long, fumbles in the end zone, touchdown for the other team. Like, you can get away with that when you're playing an offense that couldn't score if you gave them 12 quarters, much less 4. You're not getting away with that against the Rams. You're not getting away with it against the Packers, the Lions, the Eagles, the elite in the NFC. Hell, they're not going to get away with that against San Francisco. They won't get away with that against the Bears, against Minnesota, against Tampa, against Atlanta, against the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, maybe not even against the Cowboys. Got to clean that up. But other than that, Seattle wins 5-2, and I think the Seahawks are playoff bound. You bet on this Tuesday. Celebrity Seattle sports fan. I guess that's not true, just a Mariners fan. Celebrity Mariners fan, Febby Abebefe with me. Femi, it was sad scenes last night north of the border when Bizardo came into the game instead of Munoz for Seattle. Yada, yada, yada. Springer dinger, 3-run shot, 4-3 Blue Jays. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is that my worst fears came true. And we talked about it. You gauged my level of confidence when it was 2-2. And I said, my fear is that the Seattle Mariners are going to choke. And you see Suarez, game 5, and that was awesome. Grand slam. They lose game 6. And game 7, I woke up optimistic. I felt good. This was Seattle's night for baseball to be the final team of this 30-team puzzle to make the World Series. Because the other 29 teams have made it, the Seattle Mariners have not. And with 8 outs to go, they blew it. They absolutely choked. And it's disgusting, and I'm still not over it. This morning I woke up and just was like kind of like in a malaise. Like seriously, like it's like the game takes place, and I'm sweating Seahawks -3, but like the Seahawks are in control of the game. I still don't feel a thing. I'm just like, okay, whatever. We're going to win money. Great. This is fun, I guess. But I can't stop thinking about the Mariners game. and they were so damn close, as close as they've ever been to winning the pennant, 8 outs away. Just put Munoz in the game. Put him in the game. Put Munoz in, because what pisses me off so much about this, and it's one thing that pisses me off about sports, is like, if you're going to go down swinging with your best stuff. And they didn't do that. Dan Wilson said, well, you know, like, what about the eighth inning? What about the ninth inning? What about the seventh inning with runners on second and third and there's only one out? What about that inning? Because there's no eighth or ninth if you can't get past top of the order. Springer's been killing you. He's been killing you all series long. Throw your best stuff. Throw Munoz. And if Munoz gets out of the jam, throw him back out there in the eighth. And if he gets out of that, I don't know, throw Castillo in the ninth. It's all hands on deck. At least that's what they were telling us. It's game seven. Yeah, everyone's available. All hands on deck. Outside of like Logan Gilbert, pretty much. All hands on deck. And then you're saving this guy for a situation that never came up because Bizzardo was never going to get it done. Like, I texted Tyler. Like, I was like, dude, this is going to be an adventure with Bizzardo. And then two pitches later, see you later. Game is now done. And at that point, the Mariners are shell-shocked. They're wondering, we were up in control, 8 outs away from the World Series, and now we're trailing by one. Like, the whole thing is gross, and it will go down as one of the big choke jobs after being up 2-0 in Toronto, up 3-2, going back to Toronto for Game 6 and 7, where you'd already won twice earlier in the series, and up 3-1 in Game 7, and not being able to close the deal. It's a bad day. It's a bad day for the Pacific Northwest, and it's a sad day for Seattle baseball, because this team that is beloved by the fan base, they seem to can't get it done in the biggest of moments, and it's rather unfortunate. But that's how I feel today. It sucks, to sum it up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Seahawks won at least for the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah, just great. Yeah. Like, I'm sure all my friends that root for the Seahawks are happy. Yeah,
I mean, that did happen. And, like, you have this weird phenomenon, and, like, the Yankees do it all the time, where, like, you're in a critical game, and you actually saw it in the final game against the Blue Jays in Game 4 against Toronto, where you could be up in the game or whatever, and once the other team has their moment and takes the lead, it's like, they just go up to the plate. They're hacking at the first pitch. It's terrible at bats. They're grounding out to the shortstop or the second baseman. They're striking out on balls 10 feet outside the plate. And I said this to you guys off air, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually think, like, Rob Manfred has done a nice job as Major League Baseball commissioner with the changes implemented to the sport. Like, the pitch clock's awesome. Like, ABS coming next year. Like, Rob Manfred's been pretty good. And I never thought I would say that. The next thing that Rob Manfred has to do is, like, put the thumb on the scale a little bit. Like, we need collectively, as bettors, as sports fans, like, Julio Rodriguez has got to get to first base. And for the Blue Jays fans listening and watching, like, I'm half kidding. Like, obviously, like, this can't, like, you can't do stuff like this, but it would have been fun, right? Where Cal Raleigh, most home runs in the history of the American League, including playoffs, 65 to Aaron Judge's 64 a couple years ago. Imagine if Julio gets on base, he strikes out with nobody on in the ninth on the 3-2 pitch from Hoffman 10 feet outside. Where if Julio gets on, even if Cal Raleigh pops out to the catcher on the first pitch, right? How electric would that have been as Cal Raleigh 60 homers, steps into the batter's box, where one swing takes the lead in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Opportunity missed by Major League Baseball.
That, I mean, you're asking for Rob Manfred to turn into Vince McMahon. Yes. I mean, like, yeah, for entertainment purposes, would have been phenomenal. Yeah, we all saw Game 6 of the 2002 Western Conference Finals. We all saw that. But, like, yeah, it's depressing. Is a great way to describe it. Tell me one word. Depressing. Because it feels like they should have made it, and they let it go.
That was 2001. And if Vlade Divac doesn't knock the ball out to Robert Horry, we don't have to worry about Game 7. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. Mark Schlereth kicks it off right after this.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.